Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. Okay. So does anyone remember what we have discussed?
Yeah. Indra came in the servant to Diti, and Diti during his devotional service became very thin and weak. And it so happened one day she slept without washing her mouth and slept, and therefore Indra found the opportunity. Actually, before that he was very frustrated. He was not getting any opportunity because she was doing such good service. But that one day, when he found that she has not washed her mouth, he entered the womb and made 49 pieces. First 7 pieces and 7, 49. And then he killed her. All 49.
And then what?
He killed her. They even said that we are your brothers, Manus. So he said, yeah. He said, we don't have to fear anything. I won't kill you.
Yeah, I won't kill you. Any other points?
Bhagavatam talks about the things that are unconceivable, the material point of view. So we need to have faster techniques to understand and see through that.
And faith, faith and conviction. Any other points? Why are they important?
Gold standard. It's gold standard. Like, what it is, worship.
It's necessary. Any other points?
In the previous ages, the mantras had power, were powerful, and if they were not handled properly, it could have ill effect. But in Kali Yuga, we are favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they have Mahamantra, which can be chanted in whatever we pray, even though we are not capable of chanting pure, we can still be in discussion in Mahamantra.
Any other points?
Your program has promised that if you do 4 devotees with 16 rounds attentively, then he will assure that he will take you to the okay.
Men should also dress nicely, John. Maybe not as much gold. Not so many earrings. Or bangles. Any other points? So tonight we'll go from verses 63 to 78, which means we'll finish the chapter. And we'll hear how the pastime finishes between Diti and Indra. Everything turns out to be very auspicious between them. O King, being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands, saying, Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us? When Indra saw that actually they were his devoted followers, he said to them, If you are all my brothers, you have nothing more to fear from me. Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, You were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. But when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces by the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Deity worship Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of such strength in spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it wonderful that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Deity, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we see here that it is mentioned that if one worships Krishna, he receives the benefit of getting the same bodily feature as the Lord. So we know from our study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of Nectar of Devotion, there are 5 types of liberation, which are known as So Salokya means you go to the same planet as Krishna. Samipya means you get the same opulence as Krishna.
Opulence is
Shashti. Oh, sorry. Shashti. Shashti means you get the same opulence as Krishna. Samipya means?
Same planet.
Salokya is same planet.
Yeah,
it means you become an associate. Samipya means you become an associate of the Lord. Like that. Shashti means you get the opulence. Salokya means you get the same planet. Sarupya means you get a form similar to the Lord. And then there is Sayujya. Sayujya means impersonal, merging into the impersonal form of the Lord. So a devotee will not accept that. So it is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that Hanuman, when he was offered by Lord Ramachandra liberation, he said, if liberation means Sayujya Mukti, that I will merge into you, he said, then that is like hell for me. If I will lose the opportunity to serve you, then I could not accept that kind of liberation. Liberation for a devotee which is acceptable is one of the 4 kinds of Vaishnava liberation. So actually we see, as we study the remainder of this chapter, the devotee gives up a desire even for liberation. But Krishna may give you that, or he will give you that, factually. When you go back to Godhead, it means you get those 4 types of liberation. But a devotee gives up even a desire to attain those things, a pure devotee, a very advanced devotee. He doesn't even want to attain those things. But Krishna will give it to him. Even though the devotee may not desire it, but Krishna will award. So everyone in the spiritual world gets the same, similar form to Krishna, Sarupya. Salokya means you're on the same planet as Krishna. Shashti means you get all the opulence that Krishna enjoys. You also get to enjoy it as prasad. And Samipya means you're always with Krishna. So a devotee will get all of those things by Krishna's grace, even if we don't desire it. Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra. And therefore, she was very pleased. So this is the nature of spiritual life. The nature of spiritual life, you will see there is cooperation amongst the devotees, the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada said that the proof of how much we love him is how much we will cooperate after he is gone. So the devotees have to learn to cooperate. This is a sign of spiritual progress or advancement. In the material world, people find it difficult to cooperate. But devotees have to be different to that. Devotees are the best of human beings. Therefore, a devotee has to learn to cooperate. Now, how can we learn to cooperate with each other? Because everyone has differences of opinion. Everyone has different personalities, different ways of doing things, different desires, different opinions of how to do things. So how do we all learn to cooperate? When the heart becomes purified by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, one's consciousness becomes more elevated, and then one can learn to deal with devotees properly. If one's false ego is not diminished, if one has not become purified, then one will be uncooperative towards others. He'll find it difficult to associate with other devotees. And in fact, in the third canto, Kapila Dev says that the symptom of one who is a devotee in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion is that he is a separatist, which means he finds it very difficult to cooperate and associate with other Vaishnavas. One who is more purified, who is in a higher state of consciousness, who has become purified by studying this Bhagavatam, then he is able to cooperate with other devotees. He is able to associate with them properly. So this is the situation of a devotee who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness. He will cooperate. Because he can put his own personal agenda second. It becomes secondary. So in other words, he will learn to deal properly with his authorities. In spiritual life, you have to learn to follow the authority. Even though you may not always agree with the authority, but you have to learn to act in such a way, expertly, that you can follow the authority so that everything turns out auspiciously. So, here we see that Indra and the Maruts, they're in a very friendly state of consciousness. So this is actually spiritual consciousness. There should be a mood of cooperation, and actually there should be a mood of affection amongst the Vaishnavas. When we see all the devotees together, there should be a very warm and loving mood in the community. And Srila Prabhupada actually said that our movement will go on by love and trust. That is the way our movement will progress. That's how Krishna consciousness will progress. When everyone is very loving and very trusting towards each other. But if devotees are not loving and if they're not trusting, then it becomes very difficult for everyone to associate. And for our society to expand, to improve and to attract other people. And for everyone to be peaceful within the society. The most important thing is all the devotees are very happy and satisfied. That is the sign of a healthy society or a healthy temple. And devotees are happy, they're satisfied, and they associate very nicely together. So you see here the Maruts and Indra, even though he's just tried to kill them, actually. Because everyone is in an elevated state of consciousness, Indra has become purified, they've become purified, now they're associating very nicely together. Any points? Speak loudly because they can't hear.
Because when the devotee is elevated to the Madhyama level, he exactly learns how to just respect the very spiritual devotees. He becomes respectful to seniors, so he immediately gets his very important. His friendly with his devotees, so there he has no issues. And sympathetic to the devotees. So this is a key to the communication called the devotee. Prabhupada says that the neophytes are so inspired. The devotees exhibit this tendency.
Any other points? Thereafter, Devi said to Indra, "My dear son, I adhered to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you, 12 adityas. I prayed only for one son, but now I see that there are 49. How has this happened? My dear son, Indra, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not speak. Do not try to speak lies." So you'll see, generally when we do something wrong, what do? We are speaking lies. If we do something wrong, then quite often in the material world, people say they did not do it. Like that. Because they don't want to get in trouble. So Indra, he has acted improperly. And Diti also had a very impure motive in the very beginning. So one would expect it would be very difficult for both of them to admit to what they have done. For Diti to say openly to Indra, yes, I've been doing this vow just to kill you. And for Indra to say, actually, I was just serving you because I just wanted to kill your embryo. But now, because they're in purified consciousness and they both realize they've been purified by the situation, by devotional service, and because they're in elevated consciousness, now they both admit to what has taken place. So devotees should also do this. If we do something wrong, we should admit it. You should immediately tell what has taken place. My spiritual master, he taught us to always do this. If you do something wrong, immediately you should tell the guru, I made a mistake. Don't try to cover it up. Because then it will just, the situation will just become worse. Just like I told you that story about, you know, Radhacharan? Prabhu? Radhacharan? He was here? Like that? You know, everyone, most of you know him, right? I told you that story when he was typing, Mahavishnu was writing one of his books. I think I told the story. Maybe. Maybe. I do not. So, he was, Mahavishnu was writing one of his books. I think it was the Yoga for the 21st Century. You know that book that he wrote, the novel? The story of Li Huangshuo? That one? Yoga for the 21st Century. There's one book he wrote like that. So, Tamalkrishnamurti was writing the book, so he was on an island. I think it was somewhere off the coast of America. And he took Radhacharan there and a few other devotees there, and he was having like a writing retreat. So he was just like dictating into the tape. And, you know, writing this book, and then whenever he would finish a particular tape, he would ring the bell and Radhacharan would come and take the tape and then give him another tape, and then he would put that in the dictaphone, and then he would begin to, and then he would go out and he would type up that, what he'd just spoken. So he was writing his book, so it was very intense, and he was doing a lot of. So then Radhacharan went out, and he had a tape eraser, which erases the tapes. And then he can bring the tape back later on. After he's typed, he can erase it and then take it back and then Tamalkrishnamurti. So for some reason, Tamalkrishnamurti had finished dictating this particular tape. He gave it to Radhacharan. Radhacharan walked out and he just put it straight through the eraser. And then he thought, oh my God, what have I done? So I've made mistakes when I serve my spiritual master, but I couldn't imagine if I made that mistake, you know, how bad I would feel. You know. So Radhacharan, as soon as he did that, he said he just, you know, his life just totally stopped. Because he realized now, you know, what can he do now? So he told one of the other devotees, he said, I just did this. He said, so immediately go and tell Tamalkrishnamurti. So he walked in, and as soon as he walked in, Tamalkrishnamurti just looked at him. And he said, what happened? Tamalkrishnamurti used to say that a lot. He'd say, what happened? He'd say that a lot. What happened? So then he said, I just erased the whole tape. So Tamalkrishnamurti exploded. Right? And then he said, get off the island. He said, get off the island. He said, I never want to see you again. Get off. Now. Off the island. So he just completely. So Radhacharan left and like that. A few hours later, then Tamalkrishnamurti had lunch, and he said to Radhacharan, okay, come and have lunch with me. But at the time, then he was very upset. So I could not imagine doing that. that would be so difficult to have to go to the guru and say, you know, you did something like that. But the point is that when the devotee does something wrong, then immediately you should try to rectify it. You should not let the situation go on and on and on. If you make a mistake, then admit that you've made a mistake. Like that. Just like if you lose a book or something, which someone lends to you. Someone gives you a book and says, do not lose it, and then you lose it. And then still you don't give it back to the person after such a long time. After how long? Huh? feels like 40 years or more. God knows. How could even that happen? Like that. So if you do these things, then go and tell the person you've done it and do something about it. At least give the book back after 2 years. Okay. Any points?
The previous was Maharishi said to get a son to kill the
leader. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why he says that.
Was that book completed or not? Later on.
Yeah, it's completed.
Yeah, the book was completed. Yeah, the book was completed. But I don't know. Yeah, somehow Tamal Krishnamurti just finished that part again. Had to do it again. I think so. It'd be very difficult. Very difficult. But actually, Prabhupada wrote a manuscript for the Bhagavad Gita, and that was stolen.
Yeah.
You know, in 65-66, that was stolen. So, I mean, can you imagine how Prabhupada would have felt? He wrote an entire commentary for the Bhagavad Gita.
Twice.
Twice?
The first time his wife
killed.
I don't think so.
It was a copy of
Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, she swapped that for tea. Yeah. That's different. But Prabhupada wrote a whole commentary on the Gita and it was stolen. So you imagine that, writing a whole Bhagavad Gita purport. Prabhupada had done the whole thing and the whole thing was stolen. Imagine how you would feel. So difficult. Prabhupada went through this. Unbelievable what Prabhupada went through. I'm listening to all these lectures of Harisori Prabhu. Like, I really did not understand what Prabhupada went through. How much difficulty there was in ISKCON. Right. In India, he was facing so many difficulties, right? And in Germany, and so many England, so many places, so many difficulties, practically, so difficult. Even he was in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, he had to manage the whole temple practically, because the devotees were finding it difficult to manage the temple. So Prabhupada was having meetings about management of the temple. And then at one point, Prabhupada leant back on the chair and he put his hand on his head and he said, I've got brain fag. Harisori Prabhu said, brain fag, Prabhupada? He said, yes, brain fag. And my brain is tired. All this management. I said, to manage everything. He said, management gives him a headache. So difficult to. Prabhupada had so much difficulty he had to go through to establish ISKCON. Actually, he just wanted to retire and write his books. But he couldn't do that because the movement was, everyone was too young and they weren't competent enough to run the movement properly. So Prabhupada had to be continuously involved in the whole thing. There was so much opposition to our movement. Very difficult. Right, so any points?
Something similar to that.
Not within the movement, but it happened in Newton. Newton wrote all his theory, and then he kept on this table. Then in his absence, his dog came, pulled that whole set of whatever he has done, manuscripts and written, and places in the file. So by the time he returns back, all that he has written for a period of time was the burning ashes. He couldn't do anything. He just took the dog.
What did he do to the dog?
Sorry?
What did he do? Oh, he hugged the dog. Really? Indra replied, my dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Shekhar, would you like to read?
When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservation what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. That both of them, instead of being enemies, really spoke the truth. one develops a devotional attitude and becomes purified by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities are certainly manifested in this body because of being touched by worship of Vishnu. Both Diti and Indra were purified.
So, what are the points?
Prabhupada is saying, because of being worshipped, because of the worship of Vishnu, both of them were purified.
Which means that if I am not getting purified after chanting Hare Krishna, they think that my chanting is not attentive, so therefore Lord Krishna is not touching me.
Any other points? So, the nature of the material world is that people are looking for faults in other people. That is the nature of envy. We're always trying to look for faults in others. And even if we don't verbalize it, in our mind we do it constantly. We're always looking for faults in others. I know in my mind I'm always saying, oh, that person didn't do that, that person didn't do that. This person has not done that. So it's just the tendency of the conditioned soul. He's always looking for faults in others. But actually, Rupa Goswami says, the nature of an advanced devotee is that he is free from the propensity to criticize others. That is how we recognize someone who is advanced. So, on one level, we learn to do that, not to do that verbally. We learn not to speak improperly of others, but it's much more difficult to stop doing that in the mind, to stop looking for faults in others. So that requires great purification to make the mind more humble than a blade of glass, grass. To always offer respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. Amanenda manadena. So this is a very pure and elevated level of consciousness when one actually thinks like this. And if you see, if you study your mind, you'll see it's very difficult to do. That's one thing you can do in Kartik if you like. Is that you can give up all Vaishnava aparad, or all criticism of other people. Right? And you'll see how difficult it is actually to do that. And even in your mind, see what it's like. To not look for fault in others. It's not easy to do. So, in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to get come beyond the fault-finding capacity. Like that. So Indra, he was saying to Diti, that I was looking for these faults in you. But now he's become purified by the entire situation. And Krishna does this quite often. Krishna, when we have impurities, then he makes a situation to purify us. Or to help remove the impurities from our consciousness. So sometimes Krishna arranges, when we have some impurities, he arranges some situation amongst the devotees that we become purified. Time and time again we see that. So that we will become humble and that we will learn to be more appropriate in our consciousness towards other devotees and towards Krishna himself. So Krishna makes these situations arise in the devotee's life. Now, if one follows the process of bhakti, yashyasti bhaktir bhagavat ikinchana, this famous verse from the fifth canto that Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, This verse says that if one worships Krishna, all auspicious qualities will develop in one's character. So that is the nature of devotional service. All the auspicious qualities should come. There are 26 auspicious qualities which are mentioned by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami in Sanatana Shiksha in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So of all the qualities, Krishnaika Sharana, or being surrendered to Krishna, is the principal quality. If one has that quality, then all the other qualities will gradually develop. Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Sachasara, Sama, all these auspicious qualities will come in the character of a devotee. Now, one time Prabhupada was on a plane. Actually, he was getting onto a plane. And he went through customs with His Holiness Indradyumna Swami. And Ibn Jundub was smart at that time. He was a grihastha. So he walked through the customs with Prabhupada, and the other two devotees who were traveling with Prabhupada, they were on the other side. They were still going through customs. So for some time, Indrajumna Swami was by himself with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned to Indrajumna Swami and he said, "The non-devotees have no good qualities." He said, "Do you understand?" And he said it three times to Indrajumna Swami. He said, "The non-devotees have no good qualities. Do you understand?" Now, why did Prabhupada keep saying that? Right? Because from the vision of a pure devotee, a non-devotee doesn't have good qualities. What does that mean? Of course, non-devotees have good qualities. We see they have good qualities. They're not all demoniac. There's so many nice people out there. But because they're not engaged in service to Krishna, those good qualities will go away in due course of time. That is the nature of the material energy. Through Brahmanda Brahmite, Korna Bhagyavanaji, through the Brahmanda, or by traveling around the material world, sometimes you come to auspicious species of life and you develop good qualities like a demigod, and then after some time, then you'll go down and you'll develop inauspicious qualities. So even the good qualities of the non-devotees, they're not permanent. They're just based on the platform of the mind. So Prabhupada kept saying, "Do you understand? The non-devotees have no good qualities." It's not even when one becomes a devotee that he develops these good qualities which will stay with you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Because these good qualities will not deteriorate. They are the nature of the soul, actually. So for a devotee, he develops all good qualities. If he does service to Krishna, everything becomes auspicious. And the more one serves Krishna, the more good qualities one develops. Of course, different devotees have different types of good qualities. Just like the example is given of Yudhishthira and Bhima. They were brothers. Yudhishthira was the eldest, Bhima was the second. But they were very different in their nature. Both of them were pure devotees of Krishna. But one of the 26 qualities of the devotee is mridu. Mridu means very mild. Right? But Bhima was not mild. Right? Even though he was a pure devotee, he was fully surrendered to Krishna, but he was not mild. So different devotees have different qualities. Not that all devotees are the same. They don't have the same nature. Some have more of one quality, some have more than others. Any points? First, I cut the child in the womb into seven pieces, which became seven children. Then I cut each of the children into seven pieces again. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, however, none of them died. So how is this possible? How can we explain this according to medical science?
Krishna's intelligent potential.
Okay. So the only answer is a chinchi shakti. It's not possible materially. How will you do this? How will you take an embryo and cut it into seven pieces and then cut each piece into seven more pieces? How will you do that? It's not possible. The only way it's possible is by some potency coming from Krishna himself. So these very powerful yogis, they used to do these things. Great sages, they used to do these things. But it's not possible otherwise. Yeah. We can't explain it logically. So, in other words, it's a way of testing the faith of the devotees. If we can believe these things, it is a test of our faith, actually. Because it's very difficult to believe these things from a material point of view. You have to have great faith to believe these things. You bring all the people in Dang Street, as we said last night, in here now and start saying all these things. I think, God, this is what you people do. You all come into this room and lock the doors and say all these things and I think we're crazy.
They think you're crazy just being vegetarian.
Yeah, well, just doing that. But, you know, what to speak of all these things we go into, 49, you know, lucky don't listen to our classes on the internet. Very strange people, these Hare Krishna people. Very strange. But actually for the devotees, these things are believable. Devotees have faith that these things are true. So you can choose where you want to have your faith. You can have your faith in this,
Well, you can have your faith in their theories as well. Why do we choose to have faith in these things? Because we see the people are better. The devotees are better people, so we choose to be in their camp. But just like George Harrison said many years ago, he said, if I have to stand up and be counted, I'd rather be with those guys, the Hare Krishnas. If I have to be counted amongst some group, I'd rather be with them, because they have better qualities, they're better people. Even if they believe all sorts of crazy things. Apparently.
I think one of the things strengthens this faith. But this stem cell research is nothing but this. They have done it at a subtle level, they could have been at the crossroads. Modern science, what is happening, is reinforcing the faith in Bhagavad.
What about the God particle?
All this, actually, science is nothing but the scriptures revealed in a cross faith.
But what happened with the God particle?
Godly particle.
But they spent $3 billion on that. What happened?
There was a joke over whether it is a Hindu God particle or a Christian God particle.
$3 billion, that's ridiculous.
Actually, there was an article 2-3 days back, they have discovered a planet which is full of diamonds.
Yeah, it's like solid diamond, practically. You said that article, right?
Again, modern science strengthens our faith in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Can we get to that planet?
I think it was written that it's in the core of the planet. Inside, in the core of the planet is your diamonds. It's a bit hard to get there.
Maybe if we get a special or something, we can go there. We could liquidate his top.
Well, if you find everywhere a diamond, you wouldn't be interested. Yes.
No, I'm just saying for the, if we find wealth, then we can use it in Krishna's service.
It's no longer wealth, no longer. Like sand, everywhere you have sand, what is not wealth? Everywhere there is a diamond, it's no longer wealth. Because it's not there, it's rare as well.
Straight point, but connecting to what Mr. Shri said, in my own job I had the opportunity to meet with a very famous biotechnologist in India. So he was showing me his biotech publication, a book that's used in America and Australia. He actually devoted a chapter to the biotechnological concept seen in Bhagavad Gita. They actually put it there saying, which was practiced thousands and thousands of years ago. And we asked them to start watching. They actually did it with photographs, diagrams, everything. And it's a world publication used in the universities.
Yeah, Prabhupada said the Indian people are devotees. He said they're devotees. So they're just a little covered and so on, but they're actually devotees. They understand these things, because a Western person wouldn't accept it. But an Indian person says, no, it's in the Vedas. So they have faith. Anything else?
Does that happen though? Because I still remember when, before the Gulf War was declared, American president, he went to church, he offered his prayers, and then signed the declaration for war. So, internally they have that fear, internally they have that feeling that, well, are they committing some mistake, or are they doing something wrong, so therefore, let me go to church, offer my prayers.
How that's going to help if they're doing the wrong thing? You'll get reactions anyway.
No, because he was in the role of a president, so before he wanted to keep his consciousness clear or clean or whatever you can call it, but he went to church, he offered his prayers there, and then came back to his White House and then signed the proclamation.
Which president was that?
Bush.
absolutely duty. Therefore, he doesn't think that he's killing people. He thinks that he's doing the righteous decision. Maybe he went there to have that vision whether he's doing the right decision or not.
I didn't vote for him.
Every people that was here was. Then we get old, the war, they went to Iraq or something. Then he went to for a break.
Sitting in my drawing room, I can make any comments.
What sort of consciousness you have every kid that is tired of?
Okay. Which verse?
73.
My dear mother, when I saw that all 49 sons were alive, I was certainly struck with wonder. I decided that this was a secondary result of your having regularly executed devotional service in worship of Lord Vishnu. So, really doubtful.
For one who engages in worshipping Lord Vishnu, nothing is very wonderful. This is a fact. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 78, it is said, Yatra Yogesho Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanu Dhara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuktir, Dhruva Dhistir, Matir Nama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Yogeshwara is the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic yoga, who can do anything and everything he likes. This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord. For one who pleases the Supreme Lord, no achievement is wonderful. Everything is possible for him.
So what are the points in this proverb?
In Lord's dictionary, the word impossible is concept.
Any other points?
Oh, Brahmaloka is made up of gold. Brahmaloka, no? Like here we have all the roads and everything. That's made up of, the road is made up of tar and, you know, and the other buildings are made up of brick and, you know, everything like that. Brahmaloka is totally made up of gold. The platform of Brahmaloka is gold. It's written in the book. The whole of Brahmaloka, everything, the buildings, everything, the platform.
You've been there?
Maybe in the previous birth, I've been there. Previous birth, maybe another Brahma. I'm fed up of the Brahma position, so I'm not one.
Really?
I never want to be a Brahma. Very difficult to
see. Even in a young road, there's one part is gold, there's one in hell. One is swarg. There is swarg in Yamu, there is some gold as
well. Any other point? Okay. So, the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita and the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita are directly connected. Dharma Kshetri, Kuru Kshetri, Samaveda, Yudhisthira. So, it is mentioned that the battle would be won by Arjuna and his brothers, by Yudhishthira. Why? Because they were pious. Dharma Kshetri. Because Dharma always favors those who are pious. So, in the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, why was it that they were victorious? Because they were following Krishna. And when one follows Krishna, then, what does one get? What are the results? There will be victory, morality, extraordinary power, and opulence. Right? These things will always exist. So you see, whenever the devotee is serving Krishna, they will always be victorious. And we see that Srila Prabhupada himself said that nothing can stop our movement externally. It is only internally, when we quarrel, that our movement becomes impeded. Otherwise, externally, nothing can stop our movement. We will always be victorious by Krishna's mercy. Right? And then, morality. Because the devotees are moral. Because they follow all of Krishna's teachings perfectly. Then,
They will always be victorious. And then they will receive unlimited opulence. In other words, Krishna will give them everything they need to serve him. Everything which a devotee needs to serve Krishna will be given. But it's interesting, if you see in Srila Prabhupada's life, Krishna did not give everything straight away. Krishna gave everything very gradually. It wasn't that Prabhupada received everything straight away. And it took years before Prabhupada was given opulence. And actually, Prabhupada struggled to spread the movement for years in India. He was producing the Back to Godhead magazine. He was preaching. He opened the League of Devotees in Jhansi, right, in the 50s. Sorry, the 40s, late 40s, early 50s, like that. So Prabhupada was attempting to preach and spread Krishna consciousness. In that entire time of 30 years of preaching, he only made one disciple. And he wasn't able to distribute a large amount of books and open many temples. So Krishna gave it very gradually. It didn't happen very easily or quickly. So we have to understand this point. That in preaching Krishna consciousness, it takes time. Krishna will give unlimited opulence. He will give victory. He will give all these things, but he has to test you. He has to purify you. And it may take years. It may take decades. Prabhupada kept going for decades. He received the order in 1921. He didn't leave to go to America until 65. 44 years later, he actually left and did that. So these things can take a long time, but Krishna is testing. And even when Prabhupada came, the movement really didn't begin to expand until 68. Prabhupada came in 65, but first 3 years, it was small, actually. A few people in New York, a few people in San Francisco, went to Montreal, but it wasn't very big. But then in 68, when Prabhupada went to India in 67, because his health was suffering, and he came back, that second time he came back, then that's when it really began to expand. And then very, very quickly it expanded. Right, by 1970, and then 72, and then you see by 75, and then by 70, it was expanding very quickly, very rapidly. But it took Prabhupada a whole lifetime, practically. From 21 until 77. It's many, many years, 50 years, practically, of endeavor just for this movement to take off. So it takes a long time. Victory, morality.
Extraordinary power.
One becomes extraordinarily powerful by Krishna's mercy. He can do things which ordinarily he could not do. And you'll see when Krishna empowers devotees, they can do things which ordinarily they could not do themselves. But by Krishna's mercy, they can do things even beyond their own abilities by Krishna's mercy. So you'll see that Srila Prabhupada, he has empowered so many of his followers, and now by his mercy, they are able to do extraordinary things in Krishna's service. So many of Prabhupada's sincere followers are performing extraordinary abilities, extraordinary feats they're performing. And this is all coming from Krishna's personal potency. So for the devotee, as it is being pointed out here, that all auspiciousness will come from bhakti. If you perform devotional service, everything auspicious will come for a devotee. So any points? Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord, and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires.
Manoj Prabhu. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he declined to take any benedictions from him, for he was fully satisfied by serving the Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that because Dhruva Maharaj, in the beginning, had desired a kingdom greater than his father's, he was promoted to Dhruva Loka, the best planet in the universe. Therefore, in the Shastra it is said, Akama Sarva Kama Va Moksha Kama Udhara Vi Timrena Bhakti Yogena Yajate Purusham Param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. 2.3.10.
One should engage in full devotional service. Then, even though he has no desire, whatever desires he previously had can all be fulfilled simply by his worship of the Lord. The actual devotee does not desire even liberation. Anyabhilashita. The Lord, however, fulfills the desire of the devotee by awarding him opulence that will never be destroyed. A kami's opulence is destroyed, but the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. A devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord.
So any points here?
There's only progress for that devotee. So, devotees do not like they keep progressing in bhakti and in material life also they keep progressing. They don't deteriorate. Materialists sometimes they go down and the bhakti will not go properly. That they, sometimes they don't, they lose the money and everything. But a devotee keeps increasing money, not decreasing.
Any other thoughts?
For us, when we say opulence, we only think of money, or wealth, or taxes. But when the Lord gives opulence, it's a different category.
Prabhupada
says
one is Durga Devi, the other one is Lakshmi Devi.
So when a devotee becomes pure in his heart, then Krishna gives everything necessary for his advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, for some devotees, Krishna takes everything away, and for other devotees, he gives everything. So it's up to Krishna. He sees what the devotee needs, a particular devotee. Some devotees need everything to be taken away so that they can come closer to Krishna. Some devotees, Krishna gives them unlimited facility so that they can use that facility in Krishna's service. So ultimately, it's up to Krishna. We cannot pray to Krishna, give me this or give me that. Of course, neophyte people do that, but advanced devotees, at least Majjhima Adhikaris, they do not pray like that. We don't go to the deities and say, oh, Krishna, give me this and give me that. We may say to Krishna, if you like, then you can give it to me. But you do not demand Krishna, you must give it to me or you should give it to me. We can say, Krishna, if you give this to me, I will use it in your service. But that is up to you, like that. Just like Ajita Prabhu, he is the temple president in the new Govardhan farm. So they opened that restaurant in Burley Heads. They opened one, Govinda's restaurant in Burley Heads, close to the farm. So now, after like 3-4 years, it is the highest grossing restaurant in ISKCON.
It's
hot. Most profitable.
Okay.
They make the most money, right? $35,000 a week. $5,000 every day they're making, right, from that restaurant every day. $5,000. Even they broke their record a couple of months ago, and one Sunday they did $7,000. Right, one Sunday, like that. So before he opened that restaurant, he went to Radha Govardhandari, the deities, and he said, if you make this restaurant successful, then we'll use this restaurant, we'll use the money from this restaurant to look after the cows and to build a new temple for you. Like that. So he did not make any demand to the deities, but he said, if you desire, then we will do like this. So then Krishna gave all the success, and now the cows are being looked after very nicely, and they're going to build a new temple. So they're building a new kitchen first, and then they're going to build a new temple. So much opulence is coming, so much wealth, victory, extraordinary power, morality. Wherever these things are, wherever the devotees serve Krishna sincerely, all these things will come. Right. Those devotees, Ajita Prabhu has been managing up there for like 12 years now. 12 years, 13 years. So it didn't happen quickly. Right? It took years, 10 years before this restaurant and then all this success came. So it took a long time, many years of effort. But if one sticks to one's devotional service and accepts the difficulties, then gradually Krishna will give everything to the devotees. Just even like this temple, you see. When Aniruddha Prabhu first took it over, it was struggling a great deal. Now it is one of the best, most affluent temples in ISKCON. Mm-hmm. Right. We have a lot of money here in this temple, in one sense.
In another sense, we don't have a lot of money because we spend it all. We don't actually have a lot of left over like that. But in another sense, economically, so much is going on successfully. But it took years of struggle to get to this point. I remember in the 1990s, there was only a few of us here. It was very quiet, this temple. And it took a long time for it to build up and build up and build up like that. But now it's become very successful. So if the devotees are very sincere and they stick to it, then everything will become successful. Any points?
Is this restaurant like Crossy?
No, it's like Gopal's. But it's better.
Who are the customers?
Who are the customers?
Demigods.
What is that? Demigods?
Well, yeah. So much money.
Most of the people in Queensland are demigods. No, just people.
Is it
just
on the beach or something?
Very close to the beach, yeah. It's in a very good, it's just in an ideal location. One of the main things with restaurants is location. That's one of the main things. It's in a main street. It's one of the only restaurants in that particular street. And the weather's sunny a lot of the time. It's just people walking up and down all the time. And they just go in there. It's vegetarian. A lot of people like vegetarian these days. And fruit, the prasadam is good. There's some very good cooks, very good devotee cooks in there. It works. Price is right. Presentation is right. Service is good. Prasadam is good. It's quick. People come in quickly. Don't have to wait around. But. So it's very successful, that restaurant. Now they're opening two restaurants here in St Kilda, the devotees. Next couple of months, two restaurants. So we should give them our prayers that these restaurants can become successful. Very nice to see. Because if these restaurants work, then other devotees will begin to do it also. Up there now, if you go to Brisbane, if you go above Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast, so like an hour and a half above Brisbane, and if you come south of Brisbane down to Byron Bay, which is about an hour and a half, more like 2 hours south of Byron. So between that 3.5 hour drive, there are 12 devotee restaurants now. 12 restaurants. They're all, yeah, running. One closed recently, but that's one out of 13, like that. So, yeah, they're all maintaining, but they're all going. And a number of them are doing very well. And this particular one is doing very, very well. Belly is doing very well. Really pumping. But even Cardamom Pot's doing very well, and Byron Bay, that's doing very well. And then they've opened a second one. Subhadra, he owns it, the one in Byron Bay. He's opened a second one in Broadbeach. That one's doing quite well as well. So, but the point is they're doing it. You know, it's enough to maintain the grihasthas who run it. And then in the case of the Burley one, they make so much money they give it all to the temple because it's owned by the temple, like that. So we pray that these ones also work. I actually spoke. One is started by Vaishnav Charan.
Oh,
yeah, the other one is started by the Mauritians. Oh. All the Mauritians are starting it. I actually spoke to Bhakti Prabhu yesterday to do some media attention for Vaisha's restaurant. So we're going to try to get some serious attention so that everyone knows about it. So, you know, as much as we can, we have to publicise it. So please tell everyone.
Where is opening?
The corner of Fitzroy Street and Canterbury Road.
It's not next couple of months, it's
few weeks.
Next few weeks. You just go up to Canterbury Road, just up there. Mm-hmm. Turn right, drive until you hit Fitzroy Street. It's just there on the corner. Mm-hmm. A place called the Metropole. Mm-hmm. It's in that little section where the light rail finishes. Good. Send it out to everyone in St Kilda. Find the Facebook. We all have to work on this. What's that?
You want to change calls in Kilda.
That's our idea. That's our idea. The point is, we have to, it's not just Vaisha's responsibility, it's actually all of our responsibility to make this restaurant work. Because if it works, other devotees will see it. If it fails, everyone will think, oh, it can't be done. But if it works, everyone else will see it. Because now up there, because you know a few devotees did restaurants, now there's 12 restaurants. Because one opened, that worked, next one opened, that worked, next one opened, that worked, then everyone started, now everyone does it up there. You know, Murari Chaitanya, my godbrother, he's been running one there for years, now his daughter's got one. Yeah, not Lakshmi, Gauri. No, the younger one.
Yeah, okay.
She got married recently.
Okay.
Yeah, she's about 20 now. She was a little girl, she used to run around here. She's like Drew, she used to run around here. Mm-hmm. Now she's 20 years old, she runs her own restaurant up there. Her dad's been running one, now she's run one. Right. So if Vaishnavas works, then Dhruv can open one. A few years. You have to learn how to cook. I will teach you. I know many recipes. So many of them. Okay, which verse?
75.
The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness which is available even in hell? Oh, my mother, O best of all women, I am a fool. Kindly excuse me for whatever offences I have committed. Your 49 sons have been born unhurt because of your devotional service. As an enemy, I cut them to pieces, but because of your great devotional service, they did not die. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, Diti was extremely satisfied by Indra's good behavior. Then Indra offered his respects to his aunt with profuse obeisances. And with her permission, he went to the heavenly planets with his brothers, the Maruts. My dear King Parikshit, I have replied as far as possible to the questions you have asked me, especially in regard to this pure, auspicious narration about the Maruts. Now you may inquire further and I shall explain more. So why do we study the Bhagavatam? Nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhakti bhavati naishiki. Right? Nashta prayeshva badreshu abhadrani. All the inauspicious things in the heart will become destroyed. So you'll see in this pastime that Diti, all the inauspicious things in the heart became destroyed by the process of devotional service. Indra, by the process of bhakti, all of the inauspicious things in his heart became destroyed. So this should be the measure of our studying the Bhagavatam. If we're actually studying it sincerely, all auspicious qualities should disappear from the consciousness. Right? We should overcome lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, all of these qualities, we should see these becoming overcome. And we should see auspicious qualities developing, like humility. Just like you see Indra, he was very humble towards Diti. He came to her and he said, please forgive me for doing what I have done. Like that. So all these good qualities should come in the character of a devotee by studying the Bhagavatam. So, any final points?
Okay.
So next Tuesday we'll do the overview of the final portion of the sixth chapter. Next Monday we'll begin, we'll do the first half of chapter 19. Then Tuesday we'll do the overview. Following Monday we'll finish chapter 19. And then on the Tuesday, which will be the 30th, we will do the closed book exam. And the open book exams and oral presentations are also due on that day. Srila Prabhupada ki.